All right. How's everybody doing today? We having a good Thursday?
Yes.
Having a good Thursday? Good. Well, we got one person having a good Thursday, so that's good. Oh, yes. Listen, guys. If you're not married, you need to get married. Not yet, though, if you're still, like, 13. Just wait. Just wait a few years. Wait till you're older, but eventually get married, because, man, she's great. She's good. She's good to be. Okay. So we're going to talk about some stuff tonight. Let me just find out where I'm at before I try to talk and do that at the same time. Okay. All right, we're good. So I'm really excited to be with you guys tonight. You know, we have a lot of things going on over at DSM. Last week, we had a huge dodgeball tournament. And if you missed out, it was terrible. It was loud. Hey, we party hard. But it was fun. We had like a ton of kids there. It was like black light, glow in the dark. It was fun. So if it was all the students, you make it? Everyone, all the students that are here? You all made it, right? Yeah, you guys are all there. If you guys know anybody that missed out, look, send them our way. The fourth Thursday of every month, the last Thursday, we always have a party. It's a lot of fun. So try not to let your loved ones miss that again. But before we get into things, I want to do a little advertising. DSM is going on a winter retreat the end of this month. It is going to be so much fun. We're going to Camp Koinonia, and what we're going to be doing is having fun and loving God. And so if you have a teenager that wants to be a part of it, we have these. Come see me and get one after if you don't have one. It's $60 to go, and we need the money by the 14th of February. So because of how hard these students worked for the Trip to Hell event, we were able to cover like 75% of the cost, because normally it's like $250 a student, and that's just crazy. Especially if you have three kids, not happening, right? But they worked so hard, and we had a lot of help from you guys, and so thank you for sending us to Koinonia. It was great. So give yourselves a round of applause. That was good. You guys did good. You guys did good. I feel like we're a little tired in here. You guys tired? Long day of work? All that stuff? No? Okay. Cool. Listen, he said it. I didn't say it. I'm just kidding. I did say it. Okay. So let's pray. Let's get into this. Jesus, we thank you for what you're going to do here tonight. We thank you for who you are in us, God. We thank you for your wisdom and your revelation, God, that you continue to send us on a day-to-day basis. And I pray right now, Father, that you would just open up our eyes, open up our hearts, and just let us know and learn more about who you are. And in turn, we'll be able to know and learn more about ourselves, Jesus. In your name I pray. Amen. Amen. So tonight, with Valentine's Day coming up, I really felt like it was good for us to talk about relationships. And it's kind of a relaxed message tonight. We'll probably end pretty early. But I felt like God wanted me to give you all a couple keys to having good relationships, have successful relationships, thriving relationships. And this isn't like a marriage-specific thing. It's not like a work-specific thing. It's just a people thing. If you are in a relationship with a person, these three things that I'm going to tell you are going to help you out in that relationship. And so we're going to get into that tonight. But before we start, I want to tell you a little bit of a story to set it up. When I was first saved, I guess you can say, when I first really encountered Jesus, there was a moment in my life where I was like, wanted to be on a deserted island with just my Bible and God. Like, I didn't want any people around. I just want to be by myself with Jesus. Has anybody ever been there? Like, I just want to be alone with Jesus. Maybe you've locked yourself in your closet before. And like, all the introverts raise their hand, because I'm an introvert. But basically, like, when I was first saved, I didn't want anything to do with people. People scared me. People are difficult, right? People are difficult to deal with, and especially Christians. Christians they're tricky. They're a tricky breed. You guys are weird. Christians are weird. And listen, if you haven't come to terms with your weirdness as a Christian, by the end of the night, I pray that you just accept it. Because we're weird, I'm weird, you're weird, Christians are strange people. So it was tough for me, because at the beginning of my walk with God, I was like, man, I don't like people. I like Jesus, and I wish I could just have Jesus, right? I just wanted Jesus. I just want to be by myself. But it's interesting, because God made his relationship with us intertwined through our relationships with other people. So to say that you can't have a real relationship with God without having a relationship with people. And it's difficult, because God's easy to deal with, and he's perfect. You don't have problems with God, but you have problems with people. And so tonight, we're going to talk about how to necessarily how to accept the humanity of people and the brokenness of people, but how to help you in your relationship with them. And so I'm really excited about it. So let's get into this. The first point that I want to talk about tonight is to respond to people instead of react to them. To respond to people instead of react to them. And we're going to read a story in Matthew 4, 4, 1 through 4. So if you want to turn there, it's Matthew 4, verse 1 through verse 4. And while you're turning there, I'm going to break this down a little bit for you. A response is given out of a place of thought. It's an intelligent answer to a situation or a question or something. You're responding out of your brain. When you react to something, you're reacting out of your natural person, your instinct, your humanity. And so, for instance, like, if you kick me, I'm going to react and punch you in the face. That's just how it goes, right? I'm just kidding. I won't do that because I love Jesus. But if you kick me, I need to take a second and respond intelligently to what you just did to me. You guys see the difference there? I don't really need to unpack that anymore. I think we got that. We need to respond to people instead of react to them. I want to read about Jesus because, you know, Jesus probably did that the best. He did everything the best. So we're going to look at him tonight. Matthew 4, 1 verse 4. Let's read it. It says, "Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil." See, at this point, Jesus had just been baptized by John the Baptist, and then the Holy Spirit was taking Jesus out into the middle of nowhere for 40 days of fasting and prayer and just an intense time with God. And so this is where we find Jesus. And it says that when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, afterward, he was hungry. Everyone say hungry. See, I love the Bible because, like, in the Bible, there's such deep mysteries, you know? There's, like, some crazy things that we'll never understand. And then there's verses like this. After 40 days of not eating, Jesus was hungry. It's like, okay, that got it. Got that one. You didn't need to put that in there, but I got that. You right? It's he was hungry. 40 days of not eating, and Jesus was hungry. And then it says, "Now, when the tempter came to him, he said, 'If you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread.' But he answered him and said, 'It is written.'" Everybody say, "It is written." "It is written, 'Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God.'" Now, I love that response that Jesus gave. It's perfect because Jesus is perfect. But when Jesus was tempted by the enemy, what did he respond with? He responded with the word. When he was tempted by the enemy, he responded with the word. And the Bible tells us that Jesus is the word. That he was the word made flesh. That he was the physical being of the Bible, essentially. And so what we see Jesus doing is the devil coming against him, the devil coming against him and Jesus responding out of who he is. Jesus didn't react to the devil. He didn't react to the present situation of his humanity and how hungry he was. Because if he did, he would have been eating rocks. But he responded not by his circumstances, he responded out of who he was. And if we can get that key, folks, tonight, that listen, when the circumstances come and when people are people and they mess you up and they hurt you, instead of reacting to them out of your flesh, out of what you feel, out of what they did to you, you need to begin to react out of who you are in Jesus, who you are in Christ, the identity that he's placed inside of you. See, there's a big difference between reacting to a situation and responding to it. Jesus responded out of his relationship with God. He responded to an external situation out of who he was inside. And this is interesting because you can't respond to a situation out of who you are in God if you're not feeding who you are in God. You know, every once in a while, I'll try to think of why it's difficult to respond out of who God created me to be, and then I remember, oh yeah, I haven't read my Bible lately. Or why do I keep like reacting to people this way or being short or getting mean? Oh yeah, it's because I haven't been spending a lot of time with Jesus. See, no matter how hard you try, if you're not feeding that person that God made you to be, you're not going to be able to respond out of that. If you're not in the Word every single day, if you're not in His presence, if you're not walking in an intimate relationship with God, you're not going to be able to respond out of God's character. Amen, church? You hearing this? Are we awake? Are we good? Okay. Point number two, let's move on. This second point that I want to talk about, this is probably my favorite one out of all three. Excuse me. But the second point I want to talk about is the first one we had, what was it? Or respond, not react. The second one is honor at all costs. Honor people at all costs. No matter what it costs you, choose honor. No matter what circumstance comes against you, choose to take the higher road and choose to honor that person. And we're going to talk about, I don't want to get ahead of myself, we're going to talk about it. But to look at this, we're going to take a trip back to 1 Samuel 24. So turn there with me. 1 Samuel 24, verses 1 through 6. 1 Samuel 24. Oh, you guys have it. You are on it. I'm just going to do this, though. Okay. 24, 1 through 6. And to give you some background story, this is probably one of the most frustrating passages of Scripture for me to deal with. And it's so confusing, and there's just question marks everywhere, but you'll see when we get into it. But basically, to set this story up, you have David. You guys know who David is? Everyone who knows who David is? David and Goliath? David, there you go. David was anointed to be king of Israel. But at this time, there was already a king in Israel, and his name was Saul. And Saul was jealous of David, and he began to chase David and try to kill him. And so we pick up this story with Saul chasing David into a cave and trying to pin him down and kill him. So let's read and see what we have here. Now it happened when Saul had returned from following the Philistines that it was told to him, saying, "Take note, David is in the wilderness of En-Gedi." Oh, that, yeah, nice. Last night I just skipped it because I couldn't say it. And I didn't learn how to say it. I was just like, he was in the wilderness. I don't know. Whatever. So he was in the wilderness of En-Gedi. Then Saul took 3,000 chosen men from all Israel. Let's picture that for a second, because sometimes we just read through the Bible. Imagine being chased by a king, but not only by a king, by 3,000 of his best warriors. Like, that's crazy. You're not coming out alive. Sorry. Like, imagine if, like, the Marines were coming after you. Like, you're done. See ya. You're out. Like, they could probably kill me right now and I wouldn't even know. Like, they're good at what they do. But you imagine having an entire army chasing you and trying to kill you. And that's what David was facing. He was facing 3,000 men from the Israelite army. And it said that they went to seek David and his men on the rocks of the wild goats. So he came to the sheepfolds by the road where there was a cave. Sorry, I can't, like, read today. And Saul went And Saul went in to attend to his needs. Thanks, Miss Jackie. Much love. Went in to attend to his needs. David and his men were staying in the recesses of the cave. So at this point, Saul goes into a cave to relax, not knowing that David and his men were hiding in that cave. Crazy. Like, when you think about this, you're like, man, God was giving Saul David, right? You're thinking about it, it's like, this is a gift from God. It's crazy. So then the men of David said to David, "This is the day of which the Lord said to you, 'Behold, I will deliver your enemy into your hand, that you may do to him as it seems good to you.' And David arose and secretly cut off a corner of Saul's robe." Two more scripture verses. "Now it happened afterward that David's heart troubled him because he had cut Saul's robe. And he said to his men, 'The Lord forbid that I should do this thing to my master, the Lord's anointed, to stretch out my hand against him, seeing he is the anointed of the Lord.'" Now, that scripture verse is crazy because you see Saul, a king, chasing David with 3,000 men, and David has the perfect opportunity to end all of it. He has the perfect opportunity to end everything. Now, if we put ourselves in David's shoes, David killed Goliath and quickly rose to the top of Israel. He was Saul's second man. He had everything, family, wealth, money, and then Saul went crazy and David lost everything. So imagine losing everything. Imagine losing your family, losing money, and being chased and going from a palace to a cave. Imagine how bad David wanted his life back. And imagine the memories of being a young boy when Samuel poured the anointing oil over David. Now imagine those thoughts running through David's mind saying, I should be king. That's my position. And I can just picture David standing above Saul as he's sleeping and just like going through all of these thoughts. But the reality is that David chose to honor Saul. Even in the midst of the circumstance that he was facing, he chose to honor. He honored at all costs, even his life, potentially his life. He chose honor. Now, in verse 4, I want to talk about this real quick because there's so much that we can take from this verse. And in every single point that we cover, there's so much. And I'm not really going to go in deep, but I want you guys to go home and really unpack this yourself, because there's something about unpacking a revelation yourself. Like, it's special when it's given to you by a speaker or whatever, but when it's just you and God, there's nothing like it. So take this, go home, and finish unraveling it, and finish discovering the mysteries of what these are. But for right now, we're going to look at verse 4, and this was interesting to me, because this is the verse when David's men said to him, "This is the day of which the Lord said to you, behold, I will deliver your enemy into your hand." You see, David's men are telling David to kill him, kill Saul. And a lot of times in our life, we have friends, we have pastors, we have leaders, we have relationships that tell us to do a certain thing or tell us to make a certain decision. And we have all of these voices, and sometimes it may even feel like it's the Lord. But I'm telling you, if it's not honor, it's not the Lord. It doesn't matter who says it to you. It doesn't matter where it comes from. If it's not honor, it's not the Lord. We have to choose honor every time, even in the face of these difficult situations. Honor unlocks things for you. Honor is a key. And when you choose to honor, you enable God to unlock doors for you. When you choose honor, you enable God to unlock doors for you. Now, you see, David could have easily killed Saul. He could have taken his crown, put it on his head, and said, I'm the new king. And you know what? David would have been king. I don't think anybody would have fought against him. He would have had a long kingship. He'd have been good. But the point is that David didn't choose to make that happen for himself. See, David could have made himself king, but he said, no, I'm going to choose to honor. And because he chose to honor, God made David king. See, if David would have become king by killing Saul, I believe that God wouldn't have been with David, just as he wasn't with Saul, because he disobeyed him. But because David said, you know what, I'm not going to try to make this happen for myself. I'm not going to take this situation into my own hands. I'm going to honor and let God do his work for me. See, listen, a lot of times in our relationships, in the people that we're around, in our work relationships, who are we manipulating to get to the top? What relationships are we using or abusing to get what we want out of them? Who are we jumping on to get what we think we deserve or what's our right? Or are we having enough patience to say, look, I'm going to honor you at this point, and I'm going to let God unlock the doors for me? And that's difficult to do. You may be running for your life, but I'm telling you, it's the best decision that you can make. Choose to honor and let God unlock these doors. See, circumstances didn't change David's perspective of Saul. We read in what David said in the last verse, verse 6, he says, "This, the Lord forbid that I should do this thing to my master, the Lord's anointed." See, the fact that Saul was chasing down David and trying to kill him, it didn't change who Saul was in David's mind. Saul was still the anointed king of Israel. He was still anointed by God to be king of Israel. And David said, who am I to take that away? Who am I to be God and decide who's king of Israel and who's not? David said, at this point, Saul is still my master, even though he's trying to kill me. Saul is still the king of Israel, even though he's trying to kill me, and God put him there. And so my question to you tonight, church, is since when has it been okay for us to choose who we honor and who we don't honor? See, when was it okay for us to give honor to maybe a pastor that speaks to 40,000 people in one service and then look over the pastor that speaks to 40? When is it okay to choose to honor maybe our boss that we know is giving a promotion soon and really honor, but choose to look over our coworker who's struggling to put food on the table? Since when is it okay to pick and choose who we give honor to? See, the last I checked, every single person that's on this earth is a son and daughter of God. And God placed them here. And they deserve honor. They deserve honor at all costs. Because we're not all high and mighty to overrule that. You know, Emily and I went to a school in Dallas, Texas, called Christ for the Nations. And while I was down there, I was able to be a part of what they call was the director's team. And what this team did was basically we would have guest speakers from all over the world, like big name pastors, just a bunch of people would come. And it was kind of a prestigious place to speak at because Christ for the Nations is just such a, it has such a rich heritage of spiritual growth and a whole bunch of stuff. And so a lot of speakers around the world take pride in saying that I spoke to the students at Christ for the Nation. It's a prestigious thing. It's a pretty cool thing. But it hurt my heart being on this team. Sorry, I'm jumping ahead. Being on this team, we were to take care of these speakers. So when these speakers came in, we'd pick them up from the airport. We'd get them water. We'd carry their bags, all that stuff. And it hurt me because as I would walk these speakers around the campus and show them different things, I could see the difference between students who honor the speaker over their teachers. We get a big name speaker. We had Sean Smith. Does anybody know who Sean Smith is? Sean Smith is awesome. If you don't know, he's great. He came in and just some of my friends, I was hanging out with him and some of my friends were like, oh, you know Sean Smith? And they're like opening the door for him and like carrying his stuff. And you know how people get around celebrities. And it's sad to me because they don't treat their friends with that honor, with that respect. And it's so easily overlooked. Now I want to encourage you tonight, don't overlook people. Don't overlook just people, everyday people that you interact with. And don't choose to honor somebody that can do something for you. Honor everyone at all costs. So our first point was to respond to people and don't react to them. Second one is to honor at all costs. And our third point tonight, and this is the last one, it's to serve at every opportunity you get. Serve people at every opportunity you get. And we're going to look at John 21:25. And this is a great scripture verse. I love this one too. I'm just going to read this one. So John 21:25, we look at Jesus, and this is the disciples of Jesus describing who he was and what he did in this earth. And he says this, and there are also many other things that Jesus did, which if they were written one by one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that would be written. Amen. And now that's such a crazy, powerful statement because we have a lot of material here in the Bible. We get a good glimpse of the life of Jesus, but then we find out at the end of this gospel that this isn't even a tip of the iceberg of what Jesus did. And it's astonishing because we know that everything that Jesus did was to serve people. It was to serve others. Jesus never missed an opportunity to serve people. That's what he lived for. And the fact that he served this much, it sets a high bar for you and me. It sets a very high bar for us. See, in today's age, it's all about me. Especially in our society. And it's all about me. It's all about what college can I get into and what career path can I choose to make the most money, have the biggest house and have the biggest white picket fence and the prettiest family and whatever. It's all about what can I do for myself? What can I make happen for myself? And we rarely think about what can I make happen for others? What can I make happen for you? What can I do for you? We need to take every opportunity to serve, because that's the heart of Jesus. It's what he values. It's what Jesus values. Now, those that serve, Christians that serve, are mature Christians. Mature Christians serve. And I'm going to break this down by telling you a story about my mom and my relationship with her, but it'll make sense. When I was a kid, kind of like you guys, maybe a little younger, but when I was a kid, and I'm sure everyone here can relate, I never really truly appreciated everything that my mom did for me. Like, I can think back to a time I was about 13 years old, and my mom packed up me and my brother, and we moved to Florida, and it was weird. I don't know why we moved to Florida. It was random, and I didn't like it, but we were really far away from my family and didn't have a lot of money, so I was like, why are we going there? It was weird. But basically, we packed up, moved to Florida, and I remember my mom, she worked two jobs. So me and my brother would come home, we'd get up to go to school, she'd drop us off at the bus stop, and she'd go to work. And before she went to work, she would have made us lunch because we would have come home, eaten, hung out, and she would come home around dinner time, that like late 7 o'clock, and she would make us dinner, and then she would leave again and go back to her second job. And she wouldn't come home until like 3 or 4 in the morning. And then she'd wake up at 6 and do it all over again. And she did this just so my brother and I can have a good Christmas. She did it so we could live in a nice, nice part of Florida. And when I was a kid, I never truly understood why she was doing that. I never truly understood how hard she had it and how much she sacrificed for me. But as I got older, as I became an adult, I was able to recognize, wow, Mom, you did all of that for me. As I began to mature in my relationship with my mother, I was able to see, wow, you served me like that. Like, that was all about me. And now, being the adult that I am, just new adult here, but I'm learning and I'm trying to make the relationship with me and my mother, and every relationship, not a one-way street. It's no longer, Mom, what are you going to get me for Christmas? It's, Mom, what do you want for Christmas? It's, Mom, what can I do for you? What can I do to make your life easier? What can I do to help you out? Because for so many years in my immaturity, I only focused about myself, and I only thought about myself. But as I became older, I began to understand that these relationships have another side of the street to them. And it's my side. It's my turn to begin to serve. It's my turn to be able to give back. And that's the same with our relationship with God. Mature Christians serve. But there's a point in your walk with God that you have to take care of Him, that you get to take care of Him. Now, there's a verse in the Bible that I don't want to like put a negative connotation on it because it's a great verse, but it says that He's going to give us the desires of our heart. And that's great. I believe that. Does anybody else believe that in here? He's going to give us the desires of our heart. But mature Christians, they give God the desires of His heart. See, we focus on a lot of times asking God and telling God what we need and what we want. Like, God, I need a new job. I need a new car. I need to do this. And we rarely wake up in the morning and say, God, how's your day? God, what can I do today to make your day better? What are you feeling? What are you going through today, God? What are the kind of emotions that you're dealing with? Let me in on that, God. See, a lot of times it's always take, because God can do stuff for us. But we need to begin to switch that around and say, God, what can I do for you? What can I take care of for you? What's on your heart? And not just with God, but with people. It's not always what can people do for me. It's, hey, what can I do for you? What can I do to get you the promotion instead of me? Let me honor you. Let me serve you. Because that's true Christianity. That's what God wants. See, my pastor at Dallas told me this one time. He said, you don't necessarily have to like people. And this kind of boggled my mind. But he was like, you know, you don't have to like or love people. And that's good because, you know, I'm an introvert. So I love people only for like 10 minutes. And I'm like, I need to go away. I'm just kidding. I'm not that bad. But I am kind of an introvert. And so I kind of get awkward with conversations. So if I've been awkward to you, you know why. I'm sorry. But he was saying that you don't necessarily have to love people, because if you love God, you'll love what He loves. you'll love what's on his heart, and you'll do what he wants. See, if we truly care about what's on God's heart, we'll notice that what's on God's heart is others. What's on his heart is your friends. What's on his heart is your coworkers and other people that you're surrounded with. And so you don't necessarily have to love people, just love God, and that love will come. And so, wrapping it up, the first thing is just to respond to people. Don't react to them. Respond out of who God created you to be and who you are inside, and don't react out of your humanity. Second one is honor at all costs. Whatever it costs you, choose to honor. And the third one is serve at every opportunity you get. Serve at every opportunity. And so, where's Brandon at? Brandon, can you play us something nice on the guitar? Just have a Jesus moment. Abby, you can get there and sing a little song. But tonight, I just want to do something, and it doesn't have to be crazy or special or anything, but I want just a few minutes before we go, just for you to spend with God. I want you and God to just have a moment and just reflect on kind of what we talked about tonight. And I want you to reflect on your past relationships. And I want you to begin to try to figure out the moments where either you reacted instead of responded, or maybe you didn't choose to honor in that situation, or maybe you missed that opportunity to serve. And I want you to begin to locate these moments in your relationships. And I don't want you to do it to make you feel bad or bring condemnation. I want you to do it so we begin to recognize what these moments look like. I want you to do this tonight so that we can leave this building knowing, okay, that's what that looks like. Okay, this is how I do this. That's the opportunity that I've missed, that I'll be sure never to miss again. And so as they're playing and they worship, I just want everybody to close your eyes. And I just want to invite you into just a moment with Jesus, an intimate moment with Jesus that doesn't have to be special, doesn't have to be loud or crazy, but just to begin to reflect. Reflect on your relationships, on maybe the moments that you failed in relationships, and begin to identify those moments. So Jesus, as we enter this time with you, God, we ask that you just open our eyes. Open our eyes and let us see the moments, God, that we reacted to people instead of responded out of who you created us to be. God, show us the moments where we didn't necessarily choose to honor everybody equally. We were picking and choosing people. God, reveal to us those times, those opportunities that we missed to serve you, to serve your people. God, I pray that you would just encourage and inspire every single person to never miss another opportunity again, to always take advantage of these three things that we talked about, to begin to cultivate better relationships. In your name I pray. So just take the next few minutes and let's just spend some time with God.
Jesus, we into the room. Sickness starts to vanish, and every hopeless situation ceases to exist. When you walk into the room, the dead begin to rise, 'cause there's resurrection life in all you do. We love you, and we'll never stop. We can't live without you, Jesus. We love you, and we can't get enough. All this is for you, Jesus. We love you, and we'll never stop. We can't live without you, Jesus. We love you, and we can't get enough. All this is for you, Jesus.
And I felt the Lord tell me to bring this up in Valley View last night, and I feel like he's saying the same thing tonight. But basically, I feel like there's some people here that have been having some difficulty with like your quiet times with Jesus, or maybe just kind of your relationship with Jesus. You feel like you're hitting a wall, or you're feeling like you're not getting anywhere. You feel like there's been moments and seasons where everything's been good. You'd sit down and you'd do your thing, and it's just everything's flowing. And now it seems like something's not right. You're doing the same things, but it's like you're not getting the same pull from God, that same attention from God. And I want to tell you tonight that you're in a new season, that you're in a different season. And the Bible tells us to be aware of the seasons and the judgments. Be aware of the seasons and the judgments. And what that means is be aware of the times that you're in, and be aware of the right decisions to make in those times. And see, there's nothing wrong with you. There's nothing wrong with your relationship with God, but you're in a new season. And what you used to do to get a certain result from God, that's not what God wants you to do in this season. That's not what you're called to do in this moment. It's not that it's wrong. It's just not, it's not for this moment. And I want to encourage you, because God really revealed that to me when I was facing that difficult situation. And I remember God saying, Dominic, I don't want you to do anything. I just want you to be. Just be. See, I feel like a lot of people in here may be striving or trying to make something happen in those relationships where, you know, you're praying a certain prayer, or maybe you always go back to your favorite verse when things get dry to stir you up. But the reality is that sometimes in some season, God wants you to just be with him. I remember the first time the Lord said this to me, and it's funny, but it's true. He said, I was in the prayer room at Christ for the Nations, and I was trying to get, you know, the Spirit worked up, praying in tongues and doing everything I can to get stirred up, right? And I remember the Lord said to me, Dominic, sit down and play Angry Birds on your phone. Right. I was like, God, no, I can't do that. I'm spending time with you. But the reality is that God didn't just, he just wanted to be with me. It wasn't a religious moment in that time. He was saying, Dominic, it's okay to just sit here and not do anything. Just be with me. And so tonight, if you're feeling and you're encountering that kind of stress on your relationship with God, I want to encourage you that, listen, you don't always have to be doing something. Just put some worship music on and, I don't know, play Angry Birds. Do something. Just be with God. Be with God. Don't try to force something to happen. A lot of times in our religious mindsets, we think that if we're not praying or if we're not reading something, we're not spending time with God. But just be. Just be with God. And so that's my encouragement to you tonight, is just to be. Just to be. And so we're about done tonight. So if you'd let me, I'd just like to wrap up just in a quick prayer, and maybe if you still would like some time to reflect and just spend in the presence, I'm sure Brandon and Abby wouldn't mind singing that for a few more minutes. But I just want to thank you guys for letting us have the opportunity to come over here and hijack your service. We enjoyed it. Thank you. Give it up for the band. These girls and Brandon, they're good. So I'm proud of these guys. Yeah. So Lord, thank you for this time together. Thank you for everything that you do for us every day, God. And we just love you. Help us to just love you more. Help us to just love you more, God. Pray that you would bless and protect every single person in here and let them have a fantastic rest of their week. Pray that you would bless them and prosper them and bless everything that they touch, God. In your name I pray. Amen. All right, y'all are dismissed. If you want to spend a little bit more time with Jesus, feel free. If not, it's all good. Love you guys. Have a good night.